people and places. With your host, Brad Banjor, Pete Shapiro, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Well, it's a new year, and Shift and Steer is in top gear. Can we say top gear? Is that a...
You owe somebody a penny or something.
Yeah,
or
I probably... Sort of,
yeah. Happy New Year, Brad.
Happy New Year, Matt. It's just you and I in the studio today.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
Everybody's still busy doing their thing.
You know, every new year, it's funny. You talk to people, and they say, yeah, I'm getting the new year going. I'm starting this. I'm starting that. And I always think it's a little ironic just because of the fact that it's just another week. You know, Sunday came and went, but it's like automatic reset. Everything resets back to the beginning for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what New Year resolution I'm going to break this year. Like, I'll make it now, and then I'll break it on next Friday.
I already broke mine. You know, I did one that said that I wasn't going to, you know, overeat, and I was going to do a lot more exercise. I think I screwed them up.
I did the opposite. My New Year's resolution was to stop exercising and eat more, and I'm doing well. I'm on it.
Well, see, if you make them realistic, then you can. It works. So, so you had a good holiday, and
I did
worked on your Fox body.
I did. I took advantage of the break. Corolla Digital was closed, and Adam was in town. I was pretty much in town the whole time, so I just put my car on the lift over there and went over there a bunch of times, and then, you know, Adam was his wife and kids went out of town for like a New Year's trip that she took him on, and he had to stay in town for something, so mostly he was by himself, so it was just like
hanging out.
It was like 4 or 5 days of me driving down there working on the car by myself, and he'd show up and just like clean stuff, and we'd hang out and drink a couple beers and mess around in the shop, and that was it. It was kind of a nice quiet time to just kind of hang out and get some stuff done. So the car's not done yet, but it's getting there. It's looking good.
Seen you post photos. And
yeah, you know, I kind of sort of just hit a couple of build photos as I move along, and people seem to like them, and there's no real rhyme or rhythm to it. It's just when I get stuff done, I shoot some pictures and put it out there and do it. And some of the things on the car are easy, and some of the things are a little more complicated than you thought. You know, just little things. I just put subframe connectors on the car. It's not a full-frame car, unibody car. And putting on subframe connectors, the actual connectors, not that tough. Getting the car ready for subframe connectors,
cutting,
way tougher. It's just, you're just scraping undercoating off, and you're cleaning shit, and you realize that the front and rear subframes, that metal that it's on, is all banged to hell, you know, because of 20 years of jacking, and hitting bumps and... You know, so, you know, in the instructions, you look and you're like, oh, the metal on metal is flat. I'm like, no, it's none of that at all. So there was a lot of grinding and scraping and shaping. And
so it didn't look like the instructions.
It didn't look anything like the instructions, but we got it all level. And then luckily for me, our guy Sean is a fabricator over there in the shop. He came in to weld them up for me. And where some of the pieces where the metal just wasn't enough, you know, he made plates for the sides. But he... you know, formed the plates and molded them to shape and did a whole thing. And
so you didn't just pop rivet them on.
No.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
And, you know, so you're like, subframe connectors, no problem. Put it up on jack stands 30 minutes later, done. No, 4 hours later, we 4 hours later over the course of like 3 days, we got it done. So anyway, that was my little vacation, I guess you can call it.
That's good.
What'd you do? Do any car stuff?
I didn't do
any car stuff.
I had my mom in town.
Yeah.
My mom's 85, so it was pretty much just, you know, doing stuff that mom likes to do. Okay, I did one car thing.
Yeah.
My mom wanted to go out in my shop and see her old car.
Okay.
You remember I built her that Slam Tahoe, and she had that... car that we had built at Hot Rods by Boyd way back when. That was a Mitsubishi show car, and that was her old car that I had done for her. And so she goes, can we go out and just see my old car? And I go, sure. It was up on the lift, and she goes, okay. You know, let's go back in.
Wait, where was it, at the house, or was that one of the warehouses? You got them kind of scattered all over.
At my house, I've got a 1,500 square foot shop right next door.
But you've also got places all around.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying
stuff
to get
you share with Mikey as well.
Yeah, and I'm trying to. I got a place, you know, a couple places in Arizona and a couple places here. But I'm trying to thin the herd. You know, you don't use this stuff; it sits around. So
you're trying to thin the herd, or Charlotte's trying to thin the herd?
No, I am. I'm just tired of having stuff that I don't use. It's like my boat, you know, I get that nice big boat and I haven't seen it. I mean,
I thought you sold it.
I was going to last year, and then I never mustered up the time to go out to Havasu and sell it.
Anybody want to buy a badass boat?
Yeah.
What is it? Tell me what the boat is again.
It's a 27 foot Hallett.
And you got a crazy
enclosed bow with a Paul Pfaff motor in it, full roller motor, and it's a big block, and with all MerCruiser out driving and everything. It's a nice boat. It'll do 110, you know. Yeah. I shouldn't say it. 101 probably. I've had it just over 100, and that was pretty crazy in that boat, you know. So
yeah, so it's stored out like in Havasu area.
Yeah, I just have it sitting in a dirt lot out there, so I'm sure it's no. I've got it in a storage garage that I have out there. Yeah, and
all right. Anybody want to buy a boat?
Yeah, anybody want to buy a badass boat?
Go
that's
to
super fast.
ShiftedSteer.com and email Brad. Click on the
ShiftedSteer at Gmail, and just you know.
Is that it? Is that our email address?
Yeah, it's ShiftedSteer@gmail.com. You didn't know that?
No.
Well, see, for a new year, you learned something.
Sweet.
So, but anyways, but no, Christmas was good. Holidays were good because I had family around, and we just hung out and did that kind of kick back and eat too much stuff.
So, you know, I'm hoping everybody got some cool car stuff and some car parts and some toys over the holidays and gave some cool stuff as well. And if you did, find us on social media. Let us know what you got. Tell us what projects you got
going
on. But you know what, though? Speaking of cool toys to play with, we've got something over here over at Bond Speed Wheels. We've got a badass little mini bike.
Did you ever have a mini bike growing up?
I did. You know, funny story. Not so funny, actually, is when I was 7, my brother was a little older, 9 or 10, and we bought a mini bike frame at a garage sale for like a dollar.
Okay.
And he and I built it as little kids. That was the first thing like I ever really built. But I was only 7, and it was one of those ones where like the brake was like that big metal piece of metal. Like you hit the brake pedal with
your
foot.
It was like a big metal
and
plate.
That
metal
plate just hit
the tire. Just smashed against the tire.
Tire. So we put it together, and the throttle didn't have a spring to put it back.
Okay.
So, and I got on the bike for the first time, you know, I was riding bicycles, but I wasn't really, I've never been on anything like that. And I got on it and I drove it, and I'm like, I'm going around in circles in the backyard. I'm like, what, how do you make it stop? How do you make it stop? And I crashed into a tree and cut my face open and dented the front forks and messed up our little mini bike.
Nice.
Yeah, my mom was pissed.
Yeah.
My mom was pissed for some reason, like at my dad, because somehow it was his fault.
You let this happen.
Yeah, how could you do this? I was bleeding out of the side of my eye. So I had a bad experience on a mini bike. But I've waited 30-something years. I'm thinking I'm ready to have at it again.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I never had one. Always wanted one growing up. And, you know, parents never let me get one. And other kids in the neighborhood, we'd go ride theirs. And then as you get older, anything motorized when you're a kid is like, oh, man, this is like driving. This is the closest thing to driving that you can do. And so I remember that, you know, when I got a little older, I got a YZ80, you know, motorcycle. Yeah. And so I always wanted that mini bike. Now we have this one here at the shop and, you know, kind of spit up and down the alley on it and stuff. And it's cool because it's got that old, you know, that lawnmower sound.
Yeah,
and
but it's traditional looking like mini bike.
Yes, yes.
You know, like the only thing is it has more of like a, like the banana seat on it, you know, like a little more of an adult
seat. Yeah, it's got
a
little bit bigger, softer seat than what we would have had.
Way more modern tire. But let's talk to these guys.
Yeah, because the company's Monster Moto, and we've actually got one of the guys from the company on today, and let's bring him on. So we've got Alex Kietchel on the line. He's the CEO of Monster Moto, and we were just talking about it, Matt. It's like, it brings you back to being a kid in a way. You know, you were talking about having a mini bike when you were a kid, and I was saying, you know, riding motorcycles and everything. It's one of those things that it's kind of a touchstone of youth, I think. And so when you look at the parents, they want to kind of relive that as well. And Alex, it's great to have you on. Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year to you guys. Looking forward to a great 2017.
So Matt and I were talking about this and you know, kind of give us just a big introduction to Monster Moto, if you will, just kind of the overview, and then we can kind of break it down from there, because we were excited when the mini bike showed up here, and you know, 80 cc's of fun. It was I know it put a smile on all our faces, and we can't wait to ride it some more. And you know, it's just a blast to drive, you know.
It's,
ride.
It's way better than the one that I built when I was seven and ran into a tree with. But how'd y'all get started?
You know, guys, Monster Moto was really founded with the premise that we are an introductory price point power sports company. You guys, and I love that about you, are real gearheads, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah.
There's nothing about an engine that you guys don't know about, I didn't grow up that way, and so. I wanted to expose my kids to power sports. And when you look at some of the things on the market, they're great units. Some of them are more expensive than the average American can afford. But more importantly, they're kind of intimidating. When you see some of the things that and the power and performance they have, they can get a little intimidating. You know what's not intimidating? A 2.5 horsepower 80cc mini bike. And that's what we're trying to do at Monster Moto, is we're trying to get people outside, get kids. We've started with kind of youth. Get kids, not that I have anything against electronics. We have 5 kids in our house. We love occasionally when they just go and play on the electronics. But what's most important is getting them outside and, frankly, getting them dirty again and learning about fixing things. It seems like in today's age, everything is disposable, where I think in our parents' generation, when something broke, they knew how to fix it. You know, your uncle knew how to fix something. Your dad knew how to fix something. And kind of our generation, if you're not a gearhead, where have you learned how to fix things? There's no more shop classes in high school and those types of things. And so we started with the premise of, listen, let's demystify power sports. Let's get kids outside and having a good time. And so our bread and butter product is that 80cc mini bike that you guys have. While it's, you know, designed for, you know, youth, you know, people ask me all the time, what's the weight limit or what's the limit on that mini bike? And I sit and say, well, what's the limit on having fun? you guys ride around, and I think you're having a great time on it, right?
Oh, hell yeah. You know, that's the thing. And like you said, it's about getting kids back outside, getting them back experiencing, interacting, and it's the tactile thing of you know, there's actually something physical that you're playing with rather than just imaginary.
It, you know, that's how I got started too.
Is
putting together a mini bike and then kind of understanding the engineering of it. It's like, why does it stop? Why does it go? And how does the engine work? And how do the brakes work? And that got me so much, you know, so much more interested in just all of it, just not just the riding of it. But like, it's funny because I kind of went down the direction more of loving the building process, where my brother carried on with riding dirt bikes and still rides today and does a lot of like off-road racing and stuff. And so we both kind of started with the mini bike and kind of went a little bit different directions with where it goes but loved it.
And it also teaches kids economics. You know how that happens, don't you? Because if they have to spend their allowance on gas so they can continue to ride it, they're going to learn. This is what life's all about, guys.
So tell us about the bike.
And Matt. Yeah, Matt, the great thing, you know, we'll go through it, because I like your background of what you said of the building and learning about the bike. And that's one of the fundamental things that we are trying to do at Monster Moto. So when you guys got the bike, we sent it to you, as you remember, it comes fully assembled. All you have to do is attach the handlebars and go. So it's very simple to take out of the box. But what we're also trying to have folks is to learn how to do your own maintenance. And so we've tested that concept. We have a 80cc, 2.5 horsepower, you know, centrifugal clutch engine on that. So it's a simple bowl carburetor float. Not a lot can go wrong with that engine, but you do have to maintain that engine. Well, we're trying to engage with the youth of today and the technology that they use. So, hey, listen, you want to learn how to adjust the chain? Go to our YouTube video. You want to learn how to lube the centrifugal clutch? We have a YouTube video on that. What about if something happens, you know, you don't store your unit right for the winter, and you know this happens when you set it aside. Maybe you didn't get all the gasoline out of a bowl carburetor. It can get a little gunky in there, can't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Pull the air filter off. Pull the air filter off. Take two screws off. Slide that bowl carburetor right off the rails. Put an air compressor through it. Blow it out. Put it right back on. And guess what? Your carb is good to go again. There's a YouTube video on that as well. And we're really proud of those because, and we tested this concept about a year and a half ago. The Boy Scouts of America, the North Texas chapter, had kind of a jamboree out the Texas Motor Speedway. So we set up a big kind of tent complex and had different stations where we were doing each one of those things because we wanted to see what kids would do if we gave them that technology and gave them the ability to do their own repairs. We were packed and slammed all day long. And they were able to do it in minutes. I mean, at the end of the time, you'd be like, hey, can you work in a small engine repair shop, right? Because they wanted to get their hands dirty. And we gave them the material to not make them afraid. And we gave it to them in a way that they liked it, which is video today, right? I mean, my 10-year-old boy wants to learn how to something happen on a video game or something in school, he's going to YouTube it right away. So we're trying to meet the kids, getting them outside, but using the technology they're used to.
No, we were really impressed because when that did show up, it came in a box. You open the box, and the first thing you realize is that there's not a lot of assembly. It's just put on those bars and, you know, clip some zip ties. But every tool we needed was in the box, which is awesome because a lot of people don't have... We're going back to the same thing that you're talking about, Alex, is that we're almost reteaching a whole generation. So it's not like they can go out to dad's shop and get whatever tools they need. So they were in there. And as you said, what's the first thing you do when you're working on your car, Matt, and you don't know how to do it? I'll just Google it and see if there's anything on it.
Yeah, not back in the day.
Not back in the day.
Now I do that all the time. Half the time I'm in there, I'm like, what do I got to do? I got to start looking it up. I love that you work with the Boy Scouts. That's a great sort of test case to do it. I don't know how you get the – I wish back in the day I could get the mini bike assembly merit badge.
Yeah, the mini bike merit badge. Merit badge.
But they didn't have that back then.
Hey, stay tuned. We'd love to work with those guys, right? And wouldn't it be great if there was a Monster Moto mini bike merit badge for the Boy Scouts?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think they'd love it. I mean, and so listen, if any Boy Scouts are listening to the podcast, give us a call. Let's try it again. We love that about it. As I mentioned before, we are a price point power sports company. That 80cc mini bike that you have, our classic, retails for $399. Like I said, it has
my phone costs more than that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Exactly. The engine is built proprietarily for us. You guys know, you see the bent tube steel there. That's powder coated. Right, that's not just painted, that's powder coated. Why are we doing that? We're doing that because we want this to last. If you run your fingers along those weld lines, did you guys feel any slag on those weld lines?
No, it's put together really well.
Right. When you go and look at the foot pegs, did you notice that the foot pegs, two things, they're actually rotated a certain angle, and then they have springs on it. So that, again, if something were to kind of hit that foot peg from the bottom, by the angle, it's going to bounce up. And it's going to spring on that versus just a static foot peg flat that can bend and kind of snap off. We really want to think through the quality of this mini bike. You know, our chain guard is a two-part chain guard. Why? So you can easily make chain adjustments. You've got a rear, you know, disc brake on that. And then you have three-ply rubber tires on that. We're trying to pack as much value in that price point as we possibly can, because listen, We're launching more products and high-end products this year. But if we can get a consumer to believe in our base ADCC product, that they're sitting and going, wow, I get all this for $399. If we've earned their business at that price point, then follow-on business should come. That's our philosophy there. Because, you know, in this day and age, people are talking about, you know, affordable wages in the U.S. And so the median household income in the U.S. is somewhere in the mid-50,000s. So if mom and dad are both working, you know, they're bringing home $400 to $600 in the paycheck after taxes, right? Mm-hmm. So when they buy a mini bike from Monster Moto for $400, that means mom or dad has worked darn near an entire week to buy that for their son or daughter. That matters to us. We want to make sure that when they get that product, that they feel great about the fact that, wow, this is something that is hard earned, not just from them, but when they pass it to their child, if their kiddo didn't earn it with allowance or cutting grass or something else like that, that the child gets, there's work behind this mini bike. And so when you talked about economics, that's first and foremost in our mind, that this is a good size purchase for most of Americans.
It is.
We don't take that for granted.
Especially for something that is, you know, a leisure time product. It's not something that they're going to, you know, look at as, okay, I'm going to use it to go to school on or this or that. Now let's bring it back around, because the history of Monster Moto itself, you guys started in Dallas, Texas, but you made a huge move last year, and that was to Ruston, Louisiana, to 100,000 square foot facility so that you can actually assemble these in America. I mean, tell us about that, because I think that's something that's on a lot of our listeners' minds, is that, okay, it's inexpensive, so, you know, everything's being done offshore, but with your products, that's not the case.
We Monster Moto started about 3.5 years ago, and we did start our company with contract manufacturing overseas, because we wanted to prove out that there was still a demand for this product. And as you and Matt both mentioned, you know, as kids, you really had a desire and had mini bikes, and that taught you a lot. Frankly, we weren't sure if that would still be the case in this day and age.
Right.
And so the founder of our company and chairman of the board, Kevin DiMartino, you know, he chairs a lot of boards of companies, and he's a big kid at heart. And he's like, listen, I have one of these as a kid, and it'd be great if we could bring it back. So we started with contract manufacturing overseas. We built a great product, and then we realized that demand is still there. And so we started a nationwide search, and we narrowed it down to two states, South Carolina and Louisiana. And let me just give a shout-out to the folks of South Carolina. Let me tell you, they know how to make things in South Carolina.
I mean, yeah.
If folks want to get really impressed with a manufacturing resurgence in the U.S., you might not be able to do better than some of the amazing things that are going on in South Carolina with then-Governor Haley and hopefully soon Ambassador Haley, right? But for us, we ended up choosing Louisiana, and specifically Ruston, Louisiana. Then-Governor Jindal, his administration, has set up an amazing economic development engine in Louisiana. And specifically with Ruston, Louisiana, we partnered with the mayor, Ronnie Walker, and Louisiana Tech University, which is just a fantastic engineering school there in North Louisiana, to really, we think, have a viable just intellectual capital and people. I mean, these are tinkerers, right, in North Louisiana. And I tell you, in a show of public-private partnership that is kind of mind-boggling, Brad, listen, you've owned small businesses. You know what we're up against as a small business.
Oh, yeah.
And as a young company, you know, it's not like we have grade A credit like a city does or like a state does, right? I mean, obviously, cities and states have bond ratings and those types of things.
Exactly.
Mayor Walker and the people of Ruston so believed in Monster Moto that they said, listen, if you come to Ruston, we're going to help you build a factory. What do we mean by that? We're going to get private investment, but the city is going to guarantee your lease.
Oh, wow.
So the city of Ruston actually guaranteed the lease of our factory build which allowed us to get good, you know, lease rates that really are tier one city type lease rates versus newer company lease rates, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, you got the handshake of the local government that that said they had the foresight, but also the faith in what you were doing.
That's right. So that gave the confidence to the private investors to say, absolutely. You know, that was the added little thing that we needed in order to help build the over $5 million building, 100,000 square feet in Ruston, Louisiana. And so that's, you know, people talk about their big topics right now of onshoring or reshoring or not moving away. You know, there's a lot of companies that have threatened jobs to move away. We're actually bringing jobs back. And as we grow, you know, we have a 10-year plan to have more than or right at 300 people in the factory. And we're somewhere, depending upon the seasonal, we're somewhere between 40 and 60 people already. So we opened in June, and the first production that we had out of that was our 80cc go-kart. And very pleased that Home Depot US was the first recipient of the first US production that came out of that plant. And so they had it for the holidays, and they sold out of their units in a week.
Now, you told me that once before, and that just amazes me because it's not the thing that you would think. Yeah, Costco or a Sam's Club, you would think you might see something like this. But it makes sense when you think about it, Matt. You know, you're there, you're buying lawnmowers, you're obviously somebody who's hands-on if you're at a Home Depot, right?
Yeah.
Unless you're hanging wallpaper for your wife or something like that, but you're still hands-on.
Yeah.
And they sold out in a week. And now, will they be available there on a regular basis then, Alex?
You know, it's a great question. And with any type of retail partner, it's an evolving relationship. I certainly hope that we can get in more in season with more of our retail partners. But I just want to make a quick plug for a lot of our retail partners, whether it's Home Depot or whether it's we've been doing some with Sam's Club. And really our bread and butter, frankly, is our farm and fleet customers, so you guys can imagine farm and tractor-type stores. But, you know, retail right now kind of gets a bad rap, right? Like retail sales are down or year over year. The retail buyers have tremendous opportunity and, frankly, in a lot of ways, tremendous pressure. Some of them are responsible for hundreds of millions of dollars of purchases, and they have to make these purchases a year in advance, right, because it's floor space. And as you can imagine, just planogramming all that. And so sometimes it's a multi-year cycle to go from a small regional test to a holiday event to inline. And so we're in different progresses with some of the major retailers in the U.S. to do more inline. But I certainly hope that the results that we're getting and press them and other buyers say, you know what, this is a year-round product, but let's get it in there.
Yeah, it's totally makes sense. And now we've talked about the go-kart, we've talked about the mini bike, but you also do have your electric mini bike that's rated for like a little bit of younger kids and things like that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so our three products that are on the market right now are that 80cc mini bike, the 80cc go-kart, and our little E250. I love the fact that you mentioned the E250 because oftentimes people are thinking, oh, their first reaction might be thinking, oh, well, I don't know if I want a toy. And then they look at our E250 and they're like, wow, this doesn't even look like a toy. It's the same, you know, powder coated frame. It's got a metal disc brake, cast wheels in there. And it'll carry me around. I'm 205 pounds. I can ride around like crazy. And so what we say is if your child is actually old enough or able enough to ride their bike without training wheels, then you can start them right there on our E250. And funny thing is our 8-year-old, who a few years ago wasn't yet able to ride a bike without training wheels, you know, he showed his determination one day because he got the E-Mini and he just kept trying to balance. He kept trying to balance. And by golly, I swear, he worked at it for a couple hours. Sure enough, he was able to ride the E-Mini. The very next day, he said, would you take my training wheels off? He took his training wheels off and rode the bike down the street. So the E-Mini actually taught him the balance to take the training wheels off.
Gave him inspiration.
Like, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just a dogged, determined little guy. I mean, he's going to be extremely successful in life because it's just that dogged determination. But what's great is he moved from the E250, and he's a perfect case in point. And he started riding the gas 80cc and really liked it. Well, this year he's got a prototype of our E1000 that he just got for Christmas. And I don't know if you guys happen to see the clip. We were fortunate enough right after the holidays to be on Fox and Friends in New York City a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's cool.
One of the anchors was zipping around on our E1000. So that same frame set that the 80cc is in, we're launching and we'll have for the second quarter the exact same bike as the 80cc, except for it's a 1,000-watt electric motor.
Oh, wow.
Zips around like crazy. Max speed, 18 miles an hour, actually has more torque than that 80cc engine, and we think is a real kind of game changer. For those folks that are saying, listen, love the idea of a mini bike, would love my kid to have it, but, you know, I live in a city and I don't want my cops to kind of bust my chops. And, oh, you've got an electric? Yep, we've got an electric coming out. That'll be here in Q2, and it's fantastic. Can't wait to see it.
Now, what kind of a price point will that have?
$499.
Okay, so still reasonable.
$399 is the base gas unit. $499 is the base electric E1000.
And everything that Monster Moto makes has a 90-day warranty, correct?
Absolutely. And if you are a gearhead and you feel comfortable making the repairs yourself, awesome. If you're a little bit like me, like, I'm not as comfortable, let me go on YouTube, and I can learn, awesome, we can help you there. Frankly, if you're just a parent that says, Alex, this sounds great, but I'm so nervous about potentially buying it because I'm really not handy. Oh, you've got this 90-day warranty. Wonderful. That gets me a little bit more comfortable. But where would I get a service? Listen, go to our website. We have 600 service centers all throughout the U.S. So if something does happen with the bike or you're unfamiliar with it, listen, if it's in those 90 days, give us a call. We're gonna white glove it, set the appointment at the service center, and take care of all those charges for you. And if it's outside of 90 days, we're still going to help you with the service. And because the price point is the way it is, any single repair isn't that expensive, right? So if you think about the unit as $400, you're not going to have a very expensive repair.
Yeah, it sounds good. Sounds like you guys got a good program going on.
I'm a little curious, though, about the service centers. What type of outlets are those? Are these retailers? Are these motorcycle shops? Are they, what kind of places in general?
Those farm stores you were talking about.
Yeah, farm stores, like I remember back in Nebraska and like that. How are they set up?
All of the above.
Okay.
So some of our retail partners talk about, you know, like a Rural King or a Murdoch's. They may be their own service center for their customers, right? So we have a direct relationship with them. Or, frankly, you know, Brad, back when you have a small engine repair, right? You might be a service center for us because you're out around Temecula, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a small engine repair. Or we do have power sports dealers. We have just under 100 power sports dealers all throughout the U.S. So not only do they sell our product, but they service our product. So we want to do business with trusted partners that take care of our customers.
So it's they might find that their point of sale is the person they can take it back to for service, or have a trusted recommended outlet that can take care of it for them. And I think the YouTube videos are great because, as we all know, everyone goes to the web, and if they know they're already going to find pre-produced spots that tell them what to do, it makes that purchase a lot more comforting, I think. And at the end of the day, I think what Matt and I found out, and the other guys that aren't with us today, is that it's fun, and that's the main thing. Because it just you pull that starter and the thing starts up, and it just takes you back to being a kid and riding around the neighborhood and having that freedom of the first motorized piece of machinery that you can wrap your legs around and actually control yourself. And you know what, Matt? Unlike yours when you were a kid, these actually have a throttle that has that spring in it. Yeah, it springs back.
I was on it. I thought it was comfortable, and I thought it was kind of fun to mess around with. So I think you guys are putting a good thing together. It's fun, and it's the price point is right. And I could see down the line maybe you guys doing messing around with some accessories so I can change the seat or change the handlebars or put a little number plate on it or something like that. That might be kind of fun as I sort of graduate, you know.
Well, you know, along that line, we have the black one. But yeah. It does come in, Alex, what, three other color combinations and graphics packages? Is that correct?
Yeah, Brad, for exactly right in 2016, and we're launching in 2017 even more. So right now, whether it's the 80 or the E1000 coming out, or frankly the 105, because I would love to show you guys the 105 that will have front suspension. That's a 3.5 horsepower. So we're taking it from more of a kind of fun tool around to, whoa, this thing's starting to have a little bit more power. And I'll tell you about the 212 in a second, but either the E1000, the 80, or the 105, you can get in a real tree pattern. You can get a muddy grill pattern. We have a number of patterns of mossy oak, breakup country, blades. We have a cool black phantom flame. We got another boneyard flame coming out. We have an American flag pattern. So we're starting to get into where you can express yourself a little bit with the graphics patterns in that. And we'll allow that on, again, the 80, the 105, and the E1000 as we're starting to graduate. We're starting the production of our big boy. We have not yet named it. We launched it at the AIM show, got great feedback from our dealer partners, which is our 212. I can't wait for you guys to see it and get your opinion. I mean, it's 8-inch wheels, telescopic force, powder coating, 12cc engine, 7.5 horsepower, continual variable transmission. We're pretty excited about that. I mean, it's a big, thick, you know, millimeter steel. I mean, this is a beast.
Yeah, that sounds like
fun too. Sounds really cool.
Yeah.
Now, I have one last question for you, Alex. Do you have any plans to take, you know, because you are already with your YouTube videos and all of those type of things, is there any plans with Monster Moto to take this more to a social type of a thing where owners can get together and go on rides or find each other or anything along that lines in the future?
You know, Brad, it's a great question. What we're trying to do, and I think that you guys can kind of see this, is we're trying to allow things to kind of happen organically, right? Mm-hmm. You won't see any national Monster Moto commercials yet because that's just not who we are. We want this to be very authentic. We want this to be very much to be user-generated. So if you go to our Instagram page and Facebook, you'll start to see some consumers showing us. Like one of my favorite ones is they took our little E-mini and one of our customers redecorated it, and the kid is dressed up as Evel Knievel. It's my favorite picture I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's cool.
The kid is dressed up as Evel Knievel.
That's awesome.
I would love to see that.
Because that's what every kid thinks they are when they jump on it, you know?
Yeah.
That's right.
Hopefully.
I have a big dream. Let me be completely honest. I want to be the official mini bike of a Shriner someday. Right?
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
But I want to dream big. Absolutely. I'd love to see mini bike roundups and those types of things. And I'd like, just like people think about, they don't say, I want a facial tissue. They say, I want a Kleenex.
Yeah.
I don't want people to think about they want a mini bike. I think I want people to think they want a Monster Moto. I want to be that company someday.
Well, that's great. Well, we're having fun with it. We're going to actually post some fun video of us, you know, riding it, you know, now that it stopped raining. It's, you know, we've had rain. Believe it or not, Southern California.
Tomorrow,
yeah, I know. So, but where can everyone find Monster Moto online, Alex?
You know, the great thing is give us a Google, right? And you can pick from one of your favorite retailers. I don't want to be partial to any one of them because I like them all. I will also say if you're an e-customer, depending on the season, we're the number one seller in the automotive category on Amazon.
Oh, awesome.
And so we're real proud of that. But I'd also say, listen, if you're someone that's like, oh, that's interesting, but I want to see it and touch it, like a lot of people do, right? They want to see a retail store. Go online. Check your favorite retailer, and if it's not there, here's the thing. Tell your retailer, hey, Monster Moto would sell here. Why don't you sell Monster Moto? Show them. Store managers are extremely impactful in retail sales because they are the they have their finger on the pulse of the customers. And if the consumers don't think that store managers don't influence central buyers, sadly mistaken. So if your listeners are like, you know what, this local store should be carrying a Monster Mono, it'd be perfect. Walk in and tell that store manager. That's awesome. Because those opinions actually matter. But like anything else, go online, check, and see if one of your local retailers have it. If so, go grab one. I'd appreciate it.
Cool. And what's your website?
Yeah, directly us. It's just monstermoto.com.
Okay, perfect. And I know you're on social media and like that, so that's cool. But, yeah, go to retailers, find them. You're going to love them because we've had fun with ours already, and I know we're going to have a lot more fun with it. So, but, Alex, we appreciate you coming on and telling us all about it. We think it's not only a cool, fun product. We love things being, supported with assembly and job creation here in the States. And I think that is just fantastic. And when it gets down to the fact of what you guys are trying to do is get kids to be more hands-on and learn repair and all that, it fits right within, the whole automotive and aftermarket world that we love so much.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate your time. And Brad, those are kind words, especially with your background. You know what small business is all about. It's a slugfest every day. And there's nothing more rewarding than having one of your employees just kind of look with pride in their eyes as they're putting the unit together. Nothing more rewarding than when you get that social post, the kid dressed up as Evel Knievel.
Awesome.
Or you get a parent, right, or you get a parent saying, hey, my kid is outside and they're getting dirty and they're having a good time. The parent that means something. And those two things have been the greatest reward at Monster Moto is the pride that I see in the American worker and how it translates into a great product and the fun that the kids are having. That's why we do what we do.
That's awesome. Well, we appreciate you taking time from your busy schedule over there to come in and talk to us. And everybody, don't forget that Monster Moto, find them online, go in, check them out. And Alex is the CEO, and along with the other people over there, has brought all this back to America and helping, relive a little bit, whether you're a dad and you want to bring your kid back into the fold, or just want to go
ride it
around the swap meet when you go out and look for car parts.
I want to bring one up to the other shop over at Corolla so we can go from one building to the other.
There you go. Well, you guys could even use it like when you go to the Monterey Historics and go race. Or
yeah, it's a pit bike.
A pit bike.
Pit bikes.
Pit bikes.
Those
perfect
are awesome.
For that. So. Yeah, no, definitely. So there's so many uses for it, and we appreciate you coming on today, Alex. I'm sure we'll be talking again soon, and we're going to probably send you a bunch of cool photos and video of us riding it.
Perfect. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Have a great new year.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was fun. I mean, I really do respect that they're actually assembling these here.
The guy's got a good, fun little product, good price point. They're making them here. And I like him as a businessman. It's good stuff.
I mean, those guys are they're numbers crunchers that have found fun, and they're manufacturing it and making it and creating jobs here in America, which I dig, because anytime there's manufacturing here in America, assembly, whatever it is, that's all good with me. I think we can kind of wrap up this show. Where can they find us online, man?
Yeah, guys, thanks. As usual, thanks for listening. We really appreciate it. We appreciate you telling a friend. Give us some nice ratings on iTunes. That helps us grow and grow in the iTunes ratings and eventually gets us advertisers and blah, blah, blah. So we got to keep this show going, have some fun with it. Check us out at shiftandsteer.com. And, of course, all of our episodes are on iTunes and on the Podcast One mobile app. So you can check it out there and on social media. We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We'll do all kinds of fun posts up there. Follow us. They're all at Shift Steer Media. So, guys, thank you so much. Have a wonderful new year. Here's to an excellent 2017. 2016.
And it's gone. I just got used to writing 2016.
Yeah,
it's got over.
There was a bad.
There's a lot of bad. Hey, for myself, Brad Fanshaw and
Matt DeAndrea,
and our friends Pete Shaporis and Aaron, who aren't with us today. Hey, have a great new year, and you will hear us again.